Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started, and that's just like everything else this weekend. Nothing's going as planned, and it's all good. So I'm going to introduce my friend Rhonda, and you know Rhonda and April are going to be speaking today. Jackie's going to introduce her, but so yeah, I'm sure all of you know Rhonda Reinert anyway, but we've been friends for a long time, and one of the reasons we chose Rhonda to do this class is because she is a servant, and I personally have a lot of respect for Rhonda because she works very hard, and I know that she's always involved in a lot of things going on. She pays attention to what people's needs are, and, you know, she works a full-time job, and then she almost every night of the week, I know she's working full-time for God with divorce care and small group and all kinds of other things that she does. So I think, you know, she's definitely a servant, and I'm looking forward to hearing what she's got to say today.
Well, I'm here to introduce April, right? I think we've known each other about 12 years, and I've had the pleasure of calling her my best friend and my sister. I'm just excited that she's going to be speaking because she has such a serving heart, and she thinks before she speaks about everything. She doesn't ever just spout off at the mouth. She plans, she prepares, so you know that whatever she's planning and prepared for today is going to be amazing, and it's going to be something that we can all take away from and learn from. So I'm just really excited for her, and she's going to have amazing things for us all to pay attention to.
Okay, let's go ahead and pray. God, we just want to thank you again for getting to be here today and spend time with other women who have the same hearts that want to please you, God. And I just pray that you're with us right now with Rhonda and with April, that they can, you know, just relax and have fun and tell us what's on their heart, God, what they've been learning about being a servant and how to please you in that area. And help all of us, God, to, you know, for our hearts to change and be committed to doing whatever that we hear today that you want us to do, God. And thank you so much for all you've done for us, Lord. Amen. Amen.
It's been an amazing morning, hasn't it? The lessons have been awesome. I feel very inadequate after the two lessons this morning because they were really good. We're here to talk about being a servant. I'm going to speak about the definition of a servant and servanthood and the mind of Christ and the basics of being a servant in everyday life. And then April's going to come up and she's going to talk about being examples in the Bible of being servants and practical ways that we can serve in our everyday life. Okay, what is a servant? A servant is a person who serves another or acts as his or her minister. It's a person who is devoted to or guided by something. A person who expresses submission, recognizance, or debt to another. It's also listed as a person who is hired to do household or personal duties such as cleaning and cooking. One who executes the commands of another, especially a master, a sergeant, an attendant, or a minister. A servant is one who is under submission to another, who seeks to meet the real needs of the person being served. Servanthood is the condition or state of being a servant to others rather than serving self. One who willingly gives themselves to another and does whatever it takes to accomplish what is best for them. A servant is willing to become less so others can become more. I think of Mary, the mother of Jesus, when I say that, because she was willing to have an unplanned pregnancy, and in society when that happens we become less. She was willing to become less so Jesus could become more. I think this is such a great topic because it covers the very core of God the Father. Serving is exactly what Jesus did to prove to us how important it is for Him. It is to Him for us to serve each other. Having a servant's heart is not optional. Rather, it is mandatory for those who will live in God's kingdom eternally. So understanding and developing a servant's heart is a must. Christ displayed the ultimate act of servanthood when he humbled himself, became a man, and laid down his life in order that others might be reconciled to God. Christians are called to be like Christ. And like Christ, we must lay our lives down for others. We must be servants, and we must take on the very nature of servants. So what does that look like? Servanthood is not a state of mind or simply the desire to help others. It really comes down to daily laying your life down in service to God and to others instead of looking out for number one, which is myself. When Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, he showed that a mere profession of discipleship does not make us disciples or guarantee us a place in the kingdom. It is love, service, and true humility that is greatness, that is real greatness. It's amazing to me to know that the Savior of the world, would humble himself to serve people who treated him with wrong intentions. I want to challenge you today to take a step of faith and allow God to use you to serve others. The key to grasping this act starts with your choice that you must make in your heart. So the question is, where is your heart and what will you choose? And ladies, when I'm talking about heart, you know, we sing about the heart. We put our hand over our heart. I'm not talking about this heart. I'm talking about this heart and what we know to be true and right, regardless of where the emotion comes from. Mark 10:45 states, "For the Son of Man also came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as ransom for many." Philippians 2:6-8 states, "Though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even death on a cross." Let's kind of take a look at Jesus' heart here, all right? Imagine, you got it all. You got the home, the cars, the makeup, the clothes, even the shoes. We got all the shoes we need, right? Everything's at your fingertips, your love and life. It's all good. Well, God comes to you and he says, "Hey, how would you like to go to earth, be born as a human baby, grow up as a mere human, eventually be despised, rejected by the very people you are sent to serve? How about that, Jesus? That sound good to you?" No, I don't. I think I would have made a different choice, you know, me. But Jesus chose to come here to give all that up, to come here to serve us. The clip shows, you know, them beating Jesus. It shows him, you know, bending over and getting back up. It shows him falling to the ground and getting back up. You know, thank you. I think the clip really portrays the deep devotion that Jesus had in completing the purpose that God had for him. You know, he didn't stop. You know, I'm watching that clip and I'm going, just stay down. You know, just stay down. They won't hurt you anymore if you just stay down. You know, and he keeps getting back up. And it's because he wants God's will to be done that he's willing to take every bit of what God says needs to be done to be our servant. Jesus' actions are very consistent in his statement in the garden, "Not my will but yours be done." This statement is the essence of a serving heart. The attitude allows us to have the mindset put forth in Philippians 2:4, where Paul instructs us not to look for our own interest, but instead to the interests of others. You can be serving but not be a servant. You know, it's all about your mindset, the attitude you have as you make your choices day to day, hour to hour, minute to minute. Are you serving because of guilt, pressure from outside influences, or recognition? or are you serving because you love God and you want His will fulfilled in your life? You see, I will do things for God that I won't do for anybody else. I just kind of want to give you a couple examples here of serving versus being a servant. When I first moved down here from Chicago, we were going to a church, and I had four children, single parent. You know, it was pretty rough. I wasn't making a whole lot of money. The church decided they were going to help me, you know, by giving me a little bit of money to go spend on my children, you know, for Christmas. I was very excited. You know, they were going to come pick me up. We were going to go shopping. I was going to spend a little time with some ladies, you know, from the church. You know, got a babysitter for the kids. They come picked me up. And on the way there, we went to the Walmart in Jerseyville. On the way there, I sat in the back. And they really didn't want to talk to me. You know, they didn't really have anything. They were very engrossed in their own conversation. They didn't even try to pull me into the conversation. Got to Walmart, and they stopped me at the door and said, "Here's the money. Have fun shopping. We're going to pick you up at this time." I went shopping, and then when they picked me back up on the way home, you know, I was kind of excited. I wanted to tell them a little bit about what I bought the kids, whatever. They were not interested in anything I had to say. I was a charity case, and I, you know, that even hurts me to this day that I was just a charity case to ladies that are supposed to be very strong Christian women, you know. And yes, I was going through a bad time, but I needed to know that I was loved and accepted, and I didn't get that from them, you know. So ladies, if you're going to serve somebody, serve them. Just don't be out there to have a good name or the charity case, you know. Serve them with all your heart, because, you know, that's what God and Jesus, that's what Jesus did for us. He gave us everything, you know. Okay, another example. Well, you know, we've all been somewhere where we're being served, right? It doesn't take us long to know if somebody's there because they love to serve people, or they're there for the money, you know, or whatever it is. Another example I have is being asked to teach this class. I am not, I'm not a public speaker. I get very nervous. You know, I lose my mind up here, so I have to have notes. I have to read to you. I got the text, and I read it. And I threw my phone across the table, and I'm like, no, it is right. I didn't answer that text for several hours. I mean, that phone sat right over there. I didn't even touch it again, you know, because I had every intention of saying no. Throughout the day, the thoughts kept coming back to me. Why do you think you can't do this? You know, they were prayerfully searching for women to teach these classes. They were led to you by God. And I'm sure these thoughts are coming from God, because I'm like, no way. And, you know, so the thoughts were, God is leading them to you. Are you going to take up? Are you going to submit to God's will and let Him work through you so that you can bless somebody? So, I sent her back the text. I think you got the wrong person, but I'll try, you know. Want to say no. And it is very humbling, and I'm very honored to have been asked. What if Christ came down here, though, with that mindset? What a very different world we would live in, you know. If our mind is not set on being a servant to Christ and doing it out of submission to God, then it's just service, you know. Our heart has to be involved. Matthew 6 states that no one is able to serve two masters, for he will hate one and despise, or he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. Which master will you choose, God or self? In Matthew 20:20 through 28, and Mark 10:35 through 45. I want to read Mark 10:35 through 45. So if y'all want to flip over there. It reads, "And James and John, sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, 'Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you.'" When I first read that, I'm like, wow, they're saying to Jesus, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said, "Grant us to sit one at your right and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" And they said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left is not mine to grant, but it is for whom it has been prepared." And when the 10 heard of it, they began to be indignant with James and John. And Jesus called to them and said to them, "You know that those who are supposed to rule over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. But it shall not be it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave to all. For the Son of Man also came not..." I'm thinking I'm going to eat this thing that's flying around me up here. Okay, I'm sorry. Anyway, it says, "But it shall not be so among you, but whoever should be great among you must first be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave to all. For the Son of Man also came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as ransom for many." This verse shows us we have two choices. Either we will choose to serve ourselves, or we will choose to serve others and to follow the example set by Christ. Let's compare God's nature to what it takes for us to be servants. Matthew 6:25 through 34 states, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on it. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit to your lifespan? Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grasses of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O men of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours. Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day." And I know you're thinking, what is she going with this? You know, we use this verse a lot about worrying, but I want to use this verse to help us see how God serves us. We're alive only because of his service to us. Our basic needs are constantly met because he chooses to serve us. Oxygen, water, earth, you know, our blood that pumps through our bodies that we need. We never do without our basic needs being met. We never think of God as our servant. You know, that's just something I think we take for granted. But understanding how God serves us allows us to better understand his character, and in turn allows us to serve others better as we more clearly understand the character of God and grow in relationship with him. Philippians 4:9 states, "My God will meet all your needs." In Romans 1:8-12, there's five characteristics of a servant, of God. In verse 8, it talks about a thankful servant. A devoted servant will always take time to thank God. And verses you can look up for that is Philippians 4:6, Colossians 3:15, and 1 Timothy 2:1. Verse 9 talks about a prayerful servant. Paul was a man of prayer. We should all strive to be known as that. Instead of trying to stand firmly on our own in times of trial, we should fall to our knees in prayer, asking God, to get us through. Verse 10 talks about a submitted servant. The servant of God must recognize that he has been crucified with Christ, and the life he now leads is not his own, but belongs to his Lord who lives in him. And that's Galatians 2:20. Verse 11 talks about a giving servant. The biggest way we serve God is by serving others who belong to him. A servant of God is by definition a servant of God's people. Do we look for ways to serve others, and are we willing to be served? And I do have to say something on that part too. Standing around waiting to be served is one thing, but to allow somebody to serve us, some of us women have a hard time with that, because you know what? We are going to do it all, and we're going to be okay. And sometimes we need to step out of the way and let somebody serve us, because, you know, they're getting blessings when they do serve us, plus we're getting the blessings too. And we're not strong enough to stand on our own 2 feet at all times, you know, so get out of the way, let somebody come in, and both of you will be blessed, you know, by that. A humble servant, in verse 12, says we must be sure that we do not develop an overinflated sense of self-importance. No matter how far along we get in our walk with the Lord, there is never a time when there are not things we need from other believers. It really helps us to have our sisters around, you know, that when we are having a hard time with things, they can be there to say, hey, you're doing this all right. You know, you can do this. I'm standing right here beside of you. You know, it's just awesome to have the support, you know, of your sisters. Now I'm going to hand it off to Miss April.
All right. So now that I thank Rhonda for doing that part of it. I know we were talking about how we were going to split everything up, and I feel like she has kind of the more important part of the lesson, so I'm just going to wrap it up for us. But I'm just going to now talk about some examples from servants from the Bible, and then talk about practical ways that we can put it into our everyday lives. The first person, and one of the more well-known servants from the Bible, is Moses. So I'm just going to share a bit about his life and how he was a servant to God. From the very first pages of the Bible, we can see that Moses was someone special. God chose him to write the first 5 chapters of the Bible. And you think that, you know, if you're going to be placed in that place of honor, God loves you a lot, and he trusts you with his words, and they're going to be there forever. So from the very get-go, Moses was really close to God, and he was a servant of him. It's kind of huge considering that when Moses was first born, he wasn't even supposed to be alive due to Pharaoh wanting to kill all the Hebrew boys that were, just to kill them. Let's see. Sorry, I'm nervous. So just even from the beginning of Moses' life, he wasn't supposed to be around. So looking later in life and seeing all the great that he did for his people and for God, just kind of an amazing story. Most of us know the story of Moses from the time his mother put him in that basket and sent him down the river, and then Pharaoh's daughter getting him out of the river. and raising him in Pharaoh's palace. But I'd like to focus more on what happened after he left the palace. And when it came time for him to kind of be his own man, he left the palace and he decided to be a shepherd. And that's not something very glamorous, just kind of a lowly position. So the fact that he went out and became a shepherd was kind of an interesting choice. God decided to speak to Moses while he was out shepherding through a burning bush. Most of us know that story, that God was talking to Moses through that bush. And God told Moses that he wanted him to go save the Israelites. Moses protested to God, saying, like, who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? And God told him, I will be with you. And then once again, Moses protested again, saying, I think you might have the wrong person. I know that's kind of how Rhonda and I felt being asked to speak. We're just like, there's probably a lot of other women that would do a lot better than we would. But we had to trust that the ladies that asked us did pray over it and that it was the right choice. So even though I'm nervous that everything will be said that God once said. Moses kept fighting with God, just thinking, I'm not the right person. And so God had to show Moses basically some miracles. Moses had a staff, and he told, God told Moses, you know, throw it on the ground, and it became a snake right there in front of him. And then when he picked it back up, it was his staff again. And so Moses was kind of thinking, okay, God's going to help me out with the situation. I don't feel adequate enough to go do this, but he's going to be there with me. So I think a lot of us do the same thing when God calls us to do something. I know that's my MO with that. And we just think others will do it better, ignoring that nudge from God. And when we do this, we can miss out on a tremendous blessing ourselves and that we can give others. So I just urge you guys, like, if you ever feel led to do something, but you're really uncomfortable with it, like speaking of the ladies' retreat, just pray to God. He's going to show you the words that he wants you to say, and it's just a blessing to be up here. God knew Moses was the man that he wanted to free the people. So he had to show Moses different things, and like I said, with the rod and turning into the snake. So at this point, Moses kind of let down his guard, and he was like, okay, I'm going to stop doubting myself, and I'm going to put my faith in God. And he had to go to Pharaoh, and he knew he wasn't a good speaker, so God actually let him take his brother Aaron with him, because Aaron could speak more, I think, like Rhonda, she's my Aaron, and I'm Moses. So they went to Pharaoh, and they let Pharaoh know that God wanted Pharaoh to send his people, or to set them free. And it was through Moses's his faith and unwavering action from there. It kind of set Pharaoh into some anger, and he's like, I'm not listening to you. Who are you? Like, this is my decision. I can do what I want with these people. He didn't know God. Pharaoh didn't. He didn't know God. And even after Moses performed the miracles in front of him, it still took the 7 plagues for Pharaoh to be frightened enough to let the Israelites go. He didn't even want to at that point. He was just like, okay, all this stuff is happening. I'm just going to say, okay, you can take them, let them go. And this is the point in the story where you see Moses using his staff to part the Red Sea, and the Israelites got to go across. You know, it took Moses quite some time to drop his guard, to put his faith in God. And once he got over himself, which is what I have to do a lot of times, he was a great servant to God and was a blessing and was blessed because of his actions. So just don't ever think that you're inadequate and God asks you to do something. Just, you know, take a deep breath and put it in God's hands and know that he's called you to do something and he's going to help you do it. The next person that I want to talk about is someone from the Bible that's known as a servant. Kind of switching gears to a woman. This is a ladies' retreat, and so I wanted to speak to you a little bit about a woman that was known for her dressmaking. This is what made her famous. Her name was Tabitha, but she was also known as Dorcas. You can find this story in the Bible in Acts 9, 36 through 43. And the Bible really doesn't reference her genealogy. She was better known for her acts of charity. than anything else. We know that she was a Christian. She was called a certain disciple among the numerous disciples listed in the New Testament. So I think she's definitely someone that God wanted us to know about. Dorcas came to know Christ a little bit later in her life, and it could have been the catalyst that started her unselfish works. She filled her life with charitable acts for others. Luke talks about Dorcas being full of good works, which primarily refers to her inward grace, which promoted her outward deeds. And among the good works, she made coats and other garments for widows and the needy in her church and community. Her good works just flowed from a grateful heart to God. She knew that he saved her from a lot of heartache and just a bad path in life. So she understood that her faith without works was dead. The needle that Dorcas used to sew the garments is kind of compared to Moses' staff. Those are two of the symbols of their delegated divine power. Her garments represented her Christian faith in action, and she actually died while serving others. And I can't imagine sitting there in a room sewing a garment or a coat for someone, and that's the way that she ended her life. And the women, the widows, were so upset that this happened, they actually called Peter. He was in the area, and they went to him, and they wanted him to come to her body that they had prepared for burial. And he started praying over her, and he told her to get up, and she did. It's amazing to think that these women that she poured everything out to loved her so much, and even after her death, reached out to someone and was like, "You have to come pray over her. We love this woman so much. She's done so much for us." And she actually ended up living for a bit longer. Her story spread throughout the entire town, and many started believing in the Lord that day. So it's just kind of an amazing story when you think about that, you know, someone that did something as little as like stitching coats and making garments for widows and needy people. She led many people to Christ just because of her story. Dorcas used her God-given talents to serve others in her community, and because of her relationship with Christ, she understood her life was not her own. It was Christ, and she was called to do what he wanted her to. Those are my couple of examples. I'm going to wrap things up with talking about just certain just practical ways that we can do this in everyday life. It's not hard to serve other people. It's actually really fun when you find your niche. And I know something that people tell me all the time, as easy as a smile. I walk around smiling all the time. I hate my smile, but it's just something like when you smile to someone, that gives them some confidence and like, oh, you're recognizing me. Like, that's awesome. And so a lot of the times it's reciprocated. Like, you smile at someone, they're going to smile back at you. It just gives you a little, you know, good feeling of like, oh, that person recognized me. So just something as simple as a smile. Just try that when you walk past someone. It's just amazing to see the outcome. Something as simple as holding the door for someone. It's just putting them first. When you see you're going into a room, so you're like, okay, there's three people coming behind me. Let's hold the door for them. It's just a really simple way of serving other people and putting them first. Helping someone get to where they need to be. I know that I've been very blessed in my life. I have a vehicle. I have a nice vehicle that works most of the time. Just giving people that may not have that car, or maybe theirs is broke down at the time, just kind of looking out for their needs. And if they need a ride somewhere, give it to them. I know there's been a few times that I've been without a ride, and it's a very, I don't know, or been without a car, I guess. And it's just a very, I don't know, you just feel alone. You're like, oh, I don't want to ask that person. You know, it's taking them out of their life and what they want to do. So just be that person that looks out for other people and do something as simple as give them a ride somewhere. Something that we do pretty much every Sunday after lunch or after church is go out for lunch with people. Maybe just taking it upon yourself. Lunch isn't that expensive, depending on where you go. So buying some food or buying lunch for other people, it's not something that you have to make a really big deal about. Just don't even tell them you're doing it. Grab their check, go pay the bill, and you know, don't say, oh, you can get it next time, or oh, you would do it for me. Just pay the bill and leave it at that. Invite, if you don't want to go out for lunch, maybe inviting someone into your home for dinner. That's an easy way. And I don't know, one way that Jackie and I, we were able to serve the teenagers just over the past year before school got kind of hectic, but just having them into our house and serving them dinner and just sitting there having conversations, that's one of the, that's one thing that's blessed me the most in life, is just sharing your house with someone and feeding them no matter how much they want to eat, and it's just having those conversations over the food. You can really deepen relationships when you do something like that, and people do appreciate it. They don't have to cook for themselves. They don't have to clean up afterwards. So they just, you know, invite someone in their home and into your home and serve them dinner. Try to cut it a little. Let's see. Another way, I think a lot of times when you say, let's go serve someone, a lot of people think about volunteering in your community. I don't know if you guys have ever done that. I know it's as simple as there was a program in Bethalto that a couple of me and my friends went to. It was about, I can't remember what it's called at the off the top of my head, but it was just, it was one Friday night a month. We went to the church. You could get involved with watching kids because it was single parents or maybe a mom and dad that were struggling, like young parents, and just, you know, giving that opportunity to learn about God, giving them some dinner while we were there, watching their kids so they could focus on a lesson. So just, you know, look around your community and look at different websites or programs that you know of and try to get involved that way. One thing that I really love is whenever I am in a conversation with someone, be present in that conversation. Don't be playing with your phone. Don't be fiddling around with your hair or a notebook in front of you or anything like that. Just listen intently to that conversation. You don't know how much good that like makes someone feel when you're present and you're looking in their eyes and you're nodding and you're just there with that person. You just make them feel valued when you're listening intently to a conversation. So it just shows that you care enough to hear them out. Being a mentor to someone, I know this one makes me smile just because I look at since I've been in Greater Alton, and I've never had relationships the way I do now. Just even people my same age that have been on a walk with God a lot longer than I have, or some of the more mature women in the church that I've been able to gain relationships with. You know, it's so helpful whenever someone else can help you achieve your dreams by being a mentor to you. So just taking a look around at who's in your life and just giving them some encouragement, some help, and some guidance when they need it. Another one that I've struggled with this in my past. I'm trying to be better at it. Just being genuine with your apologies. When you're flippant about something that you've done with someone and you just are like, yeah, I'm sorry, like, it won't happen again, that's not sincere at all. People don't appreciate that. So something as simple as that, just when you make a mistake, own up to it, you know, swallow your pride, and just sincerely apologize to someone. One of my favorite things, and I do it occasionally, and some of my coworkers do too, is bringing baked goods to work. No matter who you work with, who you go to school with, what kind of food they like, whatever, what kind of personalities they have, everybody loves food. So when you take food or a snack or something to work, everyone's like, oh my God, this is amazing. I know this past week that happened to me, like even after I wrote this down, I work in a hospital clinic and one of our nurse practitioners brought in a tray of brownies. And you will not, the reaction of all of us women are like, oh my God, there's brownies here today. Like, we were so excited about it. And I'm like, it's a brownie. Like, what the heck? But it can, I don't know, it just made a world of difference that day. And we're like, yes, we have a snack. Something that goes a long way too is just complimenting someone. When you see something good in somebody, giving them a compliment can lift their day beyond measure. I know a lot, there's so much negativity in this world today that if you just pick one thing about someone and give them that compliment, it brightens their day, and they'll remember that. And it just, I don't know, I can still think of things that people said to me years ago that just have really touched my heart and mean a lot. I'll kind of wrap things up. One point I wanted to leave off on was just one more way that you can really have a servant's heart and serve God is just to let your love for others drive your life. Love is one of the most powerful things in this world, and it provides us all with the ability to drive through incredibly painful circumstances. It brings about hope and joy that can overcome any amount of suffering. And it sets an example of service to others and to God, like nothing else. You know, love's a gift that we have from God. So sharing it with others is what we're called to do. Just experience that. Make love your focus in your own life and use it to drive your life to serve others. I'm so thankful for this opportunity to get up and speak to you guys. I hope that through my mumbling that you're able to grab something and really take to heart a way that you can maybe put those practical ways of serving others into your everyday life. Like I said, some of the simplest things go miles for people. So just maybe looking at where you're at right now and seeing, oh, what can I do today? What can I do tomorrow? And just try to put into your everyday habits something that can encourage somebody else. I'm going to wrap up with a prayer, and we can head to the next one. Father, I just come to you today with a very thankful heart, and I'm so honored that Rhonda and I were able to speak to these ladies today at the women's retreat, and just that relationship that we were able to deepen through the times that we got to meet together. I love you so much, Lord, and I just thank you for the opportunities of growth that you've given me over the past years and just the serving that I get to do in your name. God, I don't like it, but I accept it when you have me come out of my comfort zone and do something that I may not want to. But you always bless me because of it and make me better and closer to you. So I just pray that through the rest of this weekend and whatever else we hear, that we can really take being a servant to others and to you to heart and just look for those opportunities in life. I thank you so much for your son, and it's in his name I pray. Amen.